I'm Dr. Doris Forte, and welcome to the Visionarium podcast, where ordinary people gain extraordinary vision. If this is your first time here, welcome. I'm so glad you're here. And if you've been here before, welcome back. This is episode 107, and I have entitled this episode, Mindful Grandparenting. This episode was inspired, as a lot of my episodes are, by something that really caught my attention this week. It had to do with my grandson. I have four grandkids. I have two sets of them. I have a son and a daughter, and they had their kids quite a few years apart. So my first set of grandkids, my son's kids, are in college, and my second set of grandkids are 5 and 7. Well, the 7-year-old just turned 8. So it's just really a wonderful dynamic because the older cousins are more like young aunts and uncles to the younger ones. And I get a chance to do this all over again. So I want to talk about mindful grandparenting today because over the years, and because I've had a chance to do it twice now, I've learned to do it a little bit better. So let's take a dive inside the Visionarium and focus on mindful grandparenting. So, I would like to think that I didn't make a whole lot of mistakes the first time around, but I probably did. And I am continually trying to do better in this life. So, I am mindful of the areas that I need to improve in where grandparenting is concerned. And I'm really making an effort to do that. And I do thank God in heaven that I didn't screw things up too bad the first time around, because I have an excellent relationship with my son and my daughter and my grandkids. So it couldn't have been that bad, but there's always room for improvement. So what happened, as they say, has to do with my daughter and the younger set of grandkids. There have been some chatter about my grandson, the 7-year-old, needing a dental procedure, because the dentist felt that his teeth were coming in and there wasn't space, that there was overcrowding. And in my generation, back in the day, I'm sure that happened too, because I remember my daughter needing braces because of some reason, and we put her in braces. And braces was the thing back then to get teeth straightened out and so forth. You would take them to an orthodontist, and that would happen over a number of years. But apparently today, a lot of dentists feel like they need to pull the teeth to make space for the other ones to come in. And that might have been happening back then, too. I don't recall any of my friends that were raising kids when I was having gone through a procedure with their children where the dentist pulled their teeth. But a lot of them did have braces. So when my daughter and I talked about it, a pretty light level conversation about it, she was more or less informing me that he might have to have a tooth removed because his jaw needed space for the other tooth to come in. And that was the extent of the conversation, basically. So when she came back a few weeks later and told me that he was having surgery that week to have his teeth, not tooth, extracted, it caught my attention a little bit more. I asked a few more questions, and she answered, you know, that the dentist feels that in order for the teeth to be able to come in, that this is what was necessary, and that the surgery was this week. And so, you know, I felt a little more high alert that my grandbaby was about to have some kind of surgical procedure. And I think she said it was tomorrow. So it happened the next day that he had 5 of his baby teeth removed in surgery. But she didn't tell me it was 5 until after the procedure was over. And I think I said, so how many teeth did he have removed? And it was 5. And when I heard that it was 5, you know, I got a little bit more concerned about it, because that's a lot. That's a lot of teeth to be removed. And these are the baby teeth, which would have fallen out anyway, and I just didn't understand why they couldn't wait, see what the other teeth were going to do, and then at that time maybe do braces or something. But I'm not a dentist. I am a doctor, though. That made me more concerned, because I know that sometimes procedures become trendy. because somebody's done some research and presented it at conventions, and it just catches on, and we find ourselves, in my profession, leaning towards certain techniques and methods and procedures just because we've gotten information about it. But I'm not saying that's what the dentist did. I just know I got a little bit concerned. It was a case of me knowing a little bit too much and also believing that the human body has not undergone that kind of evolution in one generation, where now we need to start extracting baby teeth. I think the whole purpose of the baby teeth is that they're going to come out eventually. But like I said, you know, I probably sound very crazy to a dentist because I do not know. But that's what happened. He got through it just fine. It was spring break, and so he had a chance to relax at home, and they geared things down a little bit. But in a day or so, he was back to his normal schedule. So it was his birthday party, and after the birthday party, my daughter called me, and she was concerned that she had noticed that her son, my grandson, had developed some kind of little twitch or tick, as she called it. She took him to the doctor. The doctor felt that it may have been related to this recent surgical procedure, that that was a lot of stress on the body, and he would probably be just fine and give it time, and there was no reason to be alarmed. But of course we were. I was concerned because I could hear the concern in my daughter. She was quite shaken by this, and so was I. Because I started thinking, oh my gosh, they've hit a nerve. It's some kind of neurological thing. She validated that they had used the word neurological and leaned towards that procedure as the reason why he's having these little twitches every now and then. I was able to listen and take the information in, and as alarming as it sounded to me, I didn't do the I told you so thing, which was on the tip of my tongue. I didn't do that because I wouldn't have wanted anybody to do it to me. And because I know everything in my daughter and my son-in-law is oriented towards taking care of those kids to the best of their ability. I'm confident in that. And we'll just have to see what happens. I saw him over the Easter holiday. I wasn't looking for a tick or twitch, but I didn't see anything like that. So I'm sure he's already doing fine. But this is what actually happened that prompted my desire to talk about mindful grandparenting. Because the rules of grandparenting have changed from when I was raising kids. From day one, I was aware that I would have to modify what I assume the behavior of a grandparent would be in order to grandparent my grandkids and not keep running into obstacles with the parents. I want to open this discussion about mindful grandparenting by sharing with you just the beginning of an essay that was written by one of my favorite authors, a Lebanese poet whose name is Kahil Gibran. His little book, The Prophet, is a series of essays that address various aspects of life, love, marriage, death, children. And I'd like to read to you just the beginning of what he says about children. I'm going to read a little bit from The Prophet by Kahil Gibran. And this book was written in 1923. It was published in 1927, March of 1927. And as of February 1972, it had been reprinted 40 times. So I probably got my first copy around that time. And I have given countless people this book because I just love it. I think there's a lot of wisdom and peace in this. So I'm going to read a little bit from the essay on children. And a woman who held a babe against her bosom said, "Speak to us of children." And he said, "Your children are not your children. They are the sons and daughters of life's longing for itself. They come through you, but not from you. And though they are with you, yet they belong not to you. You may give them your love, but not your thoughts, for they have their own thoughts. You may house their bodies, but not their souls. For their souls dwell in the house of tomorrow, which you cannot visit, not even in your dreams. You may strive to be like them, but seek not to make them like you. For life goes not backwards, nor tarries with yesterday. You are the bows from which your children, as living arrows, are sent forth. The archer sees the mark upon the path of the infinite, and he bends you with his might, that his arrows may go swift and far. Let your bending in the archer's hand be for gladness. For even as he loves the arrow that flies, so he loves also the bow that is stable. The wisdom that's embodied in Cahil Gibran's words, I was introduced to long before I ever even thought about having kids or getting married or any of that. And by the time I became a parent, the wisdom that's embodied in these words was part of my psyche. There's truth there. Anybody that's ever parented understands that your kids have a mind of their own. When they're very little and portable and very dependent upon us, we can delude ourselves into thinking that they need us and we have so much influence and all of that. But the truth is, they have a mind of their own and a purpose of their own for being here. And our role is simply to provide the assistance that they need to get on their way. So if we don't own our children, we certainly do not own our grandchildren. And the number one rule that I found that I need to remind myself of often in grandparenting is that these are not my kids. These kids belong to somebody else. And my job basically is to enjoy them. I've been able to diffuse a lot of tension before it even occurs by remembering that. And whenever I can, I lead with, is there anything I can do to help? Do you need any help with this or do you need any help with that? Sometimes I really believe that my daughter with the two little ones could use a hand because she operates a business from home. Frequently, I will ask her, would you like for me to come over and take the kids to the park or play with them while you're working? And 9 times out of 10, she'll say no. And I have learned, don't go over unannounced. You know, they have their own schedule in that house. They're doing things. I don't know, the kids may have taekwondo after school or something or swim classes. And then I pop up and can just throw a whole monkey wrench in the thing. So I've learned to ask and to honor the boundaries that they have in place. That's regarding a number of things. By the time that you're a grandparent, you know, you may have some extra pocket change. You may want to spoil your grandkids a little bit. But the parents may be teaching them something else about money, that it's earned, that it's saved. You know, I don't know. But that is an area, again, where respecting and acknowledging the boundaries that exist really can come into play in a meaningful, positive way. Inside the Visionarium, we've talked about a lot of things like acceptance as being the key to our serenity. We've talked about the importance of setting boundaries, but not building fences and acknowledging the boundaries. All of those things that we've talked about are things that can help us be mindful as grandparents. And in all of our relationships, this works. One way that I build bridges with my daughter regarding my grandkids, other than just communicating clearly, is if there's an issue that comes up, like what happened with the teeth, I'll get busy online researching and try to find out as much as I can. I often ask her questions. I will say, can you direct me to some information online? Because this is just not something that I'm aware of. And I try to educate myself. And when I'm on the same page that she's on regarding the knowledge that's available and not being afraid to even ask her to teach me some things if I still don't understand. That's building bridges. Bridges that will allow us to communicate through difficult times. Had we not built that bridge when my grandson developed that little tremor that she told me about, there would not have been a bridge for her to come back to me and express her concern. And because I know her so well, I knew she was more than concerned. She was alarmed. You know, she was on the verge of tears because she felt like she had broken her baby. And I was able to reassure her that he's probably just going to be fine. And the fact that I knew what questions to ask her and her comfort in my knowledge medically really helped us reach out and grab each other's hand over that bridge. Because believe me, I had feelings about that too. Another thing that I do, being mindful as a grandparent, when we hit a stressful time, and the situation with the tooth wasn't stressful for us because we were disagreeing. It was just an opportunity to add some levity. Anytime that we can take the stress off of a situation, open up that steam valve and let some of that pressure out, it's a good idea to do that. Because if you can remember when you were parenting, there's a lot on your plate. And the last thing you need is to have a problem with one of your parents. When you're trying to take care of a zillion other things, it's a very busy time in our children's life. So what I did was I shared with my daughter some of the stuff my mom, her grandmother, used to do to me when I was parenting. Now, my mom was a country girl, just straight out of Hooks, Texas, and had been transported to Houston when she met my dad. He was from New Boston, and so they both were country. But they raised us in the city. But it was being raised in the city by country parents. So some of the things that my mom would suggest when my kids were babies was like very bizarre to me. One day she asked me, my son had diarrhea, and she said, "Do you have any birds' nests around there?" And I said, "Birds' nests?" She said, "Yeah, do you have any birds that have built a nest around your house?" And my mom was suggesting that I boil some of the twigs out of the bird's nest and all kind of stuff. And, you know, I would listen, but I know for a fact our kids do not always do the things that we suggest because I didn't. When my daughter was a baby, she had really bad colic, and my mom had some kind of remedy that I was supposed to put in her milk, and thank goodness I was breastfeeding at the time and couldn't do it. So when I shared these things with my daughter, she just laughed, you know, and it made me know that some of the things that I have shared over the years with her were just as ridiculous to her, and that was bonding. So anytime we can rise above the tension and offer laughter or a silly compliment or something positive, that's being mindful in a positive way. With the grandkids, all we really have to do is enjoy them. That's the beauty of being a grandparent. Oh, we have all this wisdom by now that we want to share. It's so much that sometimes it leaks out sideways and we can't help but share. But we don't have to worry about not having the opportunity to do that because the grandkids will love being with us if we're able to bond with them over simple, silly, wonderful pleasures. They relax when they're with us. They're not always on a schedule, going here and there, getting ready for school, packing their backpacks, and, you know, it's easy, breezy time with us, and they like that. One of the things, the silly little, funny, wonderful things that my grandkids like about me is my menthol gum. I ordered some gum that clears your airways, and I gave them a piece with the parents' permission, and they call it the screaming gum because it makes them scream and squeal with joy when that menthol hits their nasal passages. And they asked, "Can we have some of the screaming gum? Did you bring the screaming gum?" They named it the screaming gum. One day, my granddaughter asked me, "Dee, why did you buy screaming gum?" And I told her, I said, "Well, at the time, it wasn't called screaming gum. You named it screaming gum." And I told her that I had a cold and it cleared up my nose. But that's a fun thing, and they love to work with me in the garden, and they work hard. I plant a whole batch of carrots for them every year, and they pull the carrots. I make a carrot top pesto. They usually eat most of the carrots while they're there. It's something that we look forward to. They have their own area where they plant seeds and they watch things grow, and that's something special that I can offer them. So I don't think we have anything to worry about as long as we lead with love and remember the principles that we live by and know that they may not choose to live by the same principles that we raise them to live by. They have a mind of their own, just as their children will have a mind of their own. And as a grandparent, we are a very important part of that whole cycle of life. And what's required of us mindfully is to be willing to allow a generational shift to take place. Because what was, and will not necessarily be in the future or even in the present. So just allow that generational shift to occur and do it without ego, without struggle, knowing that all is well. And with that, I'll bring this episode to a close by inviting you to swim up to the surface with me and take a deep breath. Thank you so much for joining me today. I almost didn't talk about this today because Grandparents Month is in September. It's actually on September 8th this year, I believe. But this was big and it was on my mind. And I just sometimes take the opportunity to share what's on my mind in my weekly podcast. So I thank you for listening. I really do. And I'll be back next week with a new episode. If you need to reach me before then, my email address is thevisionariumpodcast@gmail.com. I always enjoy hearing from you, and I always return the email. So thanks again for listening, and have a great week. Bye-bye.
So until we meet again, remember to focus on your dreams. Because you've got to have a dream to make a dream come true. See you soon.